I want to talk to you what the Lord spoke to me. There's something God has reserved for this generation that not even the early church received. Although Paul saw it, he wanted it. He wanted to bring them into perfection. He was looking in, because that apostolic was looking into a whole nother realm. Their calling was to lay the foundation. They were a suffering church. We are an overcoming church. They overcame in the sufferings. We are going to overcome and rule and reign for a season with the Lord like no other season. Don't even look at what's going on out there, because God is going to drastically transform everything. You're going to see the hand of God move in an unprecedented manner, but more importantly, you're going to see His church come up in a whole new level now. And so I want to talk about Dominion's call. I just call it Dominion's call, or the quest of Dominion. I want to show you from the mind of God what He's been working for 6,000 years now, and what's about to culminate right now in this season, in this time, and how it's going to happen and where we are in the middle of it. Amen. And what God did, He always works His plan. He never deviates from it. It doesn't matter what happened. Not even death could separate God's plan for mankind. God just came in and overcame it. Amen. Glory to God. We love to shout Dominion, but it's how you access that Dominion is going to depend on whether that's going to operate in our life. Amen. And what we understand about it, Genesis, what, verse 26, God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Let us make man our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion. Say dominion. So being made in His dominion after His likeness means we get to operate and function like He operated and functioned. Because He gave us this position. It was given. God gave this freely. Adam operated in it freely. He had dominion over the land, the fish, the sea. Everything was under obedience to man in the beginning. Even the animal kingdom was under the obedience of man. He had dominion over all of it. Amen? And God gave that dominion. And so God created man in His own image. In the image of God created him. And God blessed them. And He said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish, and subdue. And have dominion. This is what God is going to release. Fruitfulness, multiplication, the capacity to subdue. The enemy is what's coming out of heaven right now. The enemy has no defense for. No defense. We understand how this kingdom works and how it's coming in. The enemy has no defense for it, because we're going to function just like the Lord functioned, because He gave us the capacity to do that. But what happened in this instance is we know dominion was stolen. That's what the enemy came after. He came after what God gave to man, and he stole that birthright of dominion. And when he did, he built this entire world system on that dominion that God gave to man. The devil didn't even have that. He stole it. And then he built it. And even when the Lord was in the wilderness, he said, all the glory of these kingdoms and the glory of them, I'll give to you. The Lord didn't even argue with him at that point, because he knew that he was operating from a legal position. Though fallen, it was legal because it stole it. And that's what caused the law of sin and death to come into the earth. That's when dominion was lost and the enemy took it over. But immediately God began to institute his plan for mankind to retrieve it, restore it, operate in it, access it, operate in it, and see it manifested again. And all of these years, God has been working this. Because what God's going to do in the last days is not going to be with one person. His whole body is going to enter into this operation. A full-blown reign of the kingdom of God in the earth before the seven-year tribulation. A glorious day. A full restoration. So when God began to implement his plan of restoration, it was genius the way he did it. But he also added a few things to it. He added a kingly element to this dominion in the process. I want you to go to Psalms 8. Now, David prophesies this operation of restoration, of the dominion that God was going to retrieve and restore our right. Now, you have a situation here because the enemy stole it. He has a legal operation in the earth. But his whole system is built off that dominion that God gave to man. So he functions his kingdom off a fallen dominion. But man still has an operation. That's why one man can be raised up and he can kill off hundreds of millions of people. That's the capacity of darkness. But in the same way, the capacity of light's going to go to full reign to affect hundreds of millions and billions of people for the kingdom of God. Look at verse 4 of Psalms 8. David prophesies something so profound here. What is man that thou art mindful of him? That your mind is always upon us. I mean, who are we anyway? Why? What is it about us, God? Even though man has fallen, he's so mindful of man to restore him. And the Son of Man, that thou visitest him. He's actually prophesying here. For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. And then you crowned him with glory and honor. And you made him to have dominion over the works of thy hands and put all things under his feet. Highest position given to man is dominion restored. He's prophesying a restoration of dominion where man will come out of his fallen state and be brought back in to this position to rule and reign with God. And as he's prophesying this operation, he has you and me in mind. Amen. Now we're going to see the fulfillment of this prophecy in the book of Hebrews, chapter 2, most powerful chapter. Now what he's going to do is he's going to bring the Lord into this picture, because it took the Lord coming down here to become a man to restore this dominion. First thing he had to do is become a man. He had to take mankind down into the grave, because that was an old order now, because it was a fallen state. So he had to bury the fallen state. And then he's going to resurrect all things new. Say all things new. He still does that today. He's burying the fallen man and he's lifting up the new man. Amen. Now watch how he does this, because how he does it. Now get this, if you're taking notes. Verse 6. It says, but one in a certain place, verse 6, Hebrews 2. That was Psalms 8. He's referencing Psalms 8 here. Said, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Now listen. It's extremely important you understand what happened here, because what happened to the Lord is exactly what's going to happen to you. In the same way he retrieved it and entered into it is the same way you have to retrieve it and enter into it. The fallacy is trying to, even though we have dominion restored in knowledge, to try to get that dominion here and just start trying to function in it. We end up functioning more in human sufficiency than we do in the dominion of God. But that's going to change in this last hour, because God's teaching us how to access. Amen? And as he teaches how to access, we walk in it. What is man? But one in a certain place said, testified saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the Son of Man that thou visitest him? Now he's going to talk about the Lord. He steps into humanity and he becomes a man now for the express purpose of burying the old and restoring the new. And here he is right here. The Lord's going to step in this. You're going to see the Lord doing this for us. He says, thou made him a little lower than the angels. Now the Lord... if you understand the first two chapters of Hebrews, he's actually talking about his preeminence above the angels. It talks about his preeminence above the angels. He's talking about his priesthood all through Hebrews, but the first two chapters is his position above the angels. And here he said he's made lower than the angels. There's not any time in his life, when his birth, the angels came and worshiped him. The angels were always subject. They were ministering flames of fire with him all the time. There was never a time in his earthly ministry or his birth that the angels ever had preeminence above him, except one time. And he's going to describe that here. It's very important that that happened. And he said, you made him a little lower than the angels, but then you crowned him with glory and honor and did it, set him over the works of the hands. You put all things in subjection under his feet, for that he put all things in subjection under him. He left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. He's just speaking of death. It's going to completely finish the work at the resurrection of our body. Now look at verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels at the suffering of death. He had to relinquish his estate as the Son of God. He had to relinquish his estate as the Son of Man. He had to relinquish his authority. And when he went into the cross, he let go. He loosed it. He said that night, if you remember, he said, could I not call upon my Father and he would not presently give me 72,000 angels to deliver me from you? He didn't do it, which tells us we can do that. But he didn't do it. He said, no, I give my life willingly. He let it go. He had to release. Can you imagine being able to deliver yourself with one prayer and not doing it? From that kind of suffering, all he had to do, if he opened his mouth on the middle of the cross, God would have came and got him right there. If he called on the angels when he was sitting on the cross, they would have come and rescued him right there. But he didn't. He had to undertake the suffering of death because he was positioning himself in our position now. And because of that, he had to become lower than the angels. He left the estate and he went into the sufferings of death. And that's the first time ever in the history that he was ever made lower than the angelic state. Even the angels had to watch that. You have to understand something. These angels were with them in eternity. They're created beings who were with the Father. They knew who he was. I mean, they worshiped him in his birth. They were ministering with him all the time. He said, I can call. He told Nathaniel, you'll see the angels ascend and descend upon me, the Son of Man. You'll see Jacob's ladder upon me today. They had to watch him relinquish his estate. They had to watch. It was the most glorious act of love ever. He released his estate of heaven and he became a man and he went into hell for our behalf. What is man that thou art mindful of him, that God would step in and do that? We see Jesus, who was made lower than the angels for the suffering of death. Once that price was paid. Now, I want you to keep in mind something when I'm sharing this with you, because this is actually a journey that you take the same way he takes. You're actually taking the exact same journey. All the way, by the way. You choose how far you go. He doesn't. He's going to take you to the very top if you want to go there. But it's also going to take your old man to the very bottom. But he's going to take your new man to the very top. And as he did this, not one thing he did for himself. He had every single thing before he ever did this. He already had the position at the right hand of the Father. He already was the Word. He was already the Son of God. He was already in that position. Everything he did was for us. Everything. For the retrieving of the dominion. For the salvation and the retrieving, the restoration. Say restoration. So he goes into, he relinquishes the state over the angels. And he has to go lower now. No more authority. You have to realize he left, he let go of all authority that he had. All power, all authority, he had to relinquish it for the cross. And he had to go in the belly of the earth and wait 3 days in faith. He wasn't down there having a party. He was suffering. The iniquity was laid upon me. Psalms 88 talks about it. He goes, I am shut up and I cannot come forth. My spiritual father saw him in a vision there. He meditated that chapter for 6 months and saw him in a vision laid in the belly. I don't even want to tell you everything he saw. But he saw the sin and the iniquity of the world. When the centurion looked upon him and said, his visage was marred more than any man and his form more than the sons of men. That wasn't the beating that caused that deformity. It was the law of sin and death that came on him and deformed him. You couldn't even tell it was a man hanging there. The weight of the sin that he took and he buried and he was shut up in the belly of hell for 3 days under a torment. The Lord wants to share this. And my spiritual father saw this. As he began to meditate this whole chapter, he saw this man and he was laying on his back and his hands were up in the air and he was crying out, "Help me, help me." And when he got closer, there was this movement all over his body and he didn't know what it was. And as he got closer and closer, this is going to affect some of you, I'm telling you right now. He said it looked like 9-inch worms were covered his whole body. They were crawling in and out of him. And when he saw that, he couldn't take anymore. And he threw himself out of the vision. And he said, "God, I can't handle that. I don't even have scripture for that." He says he was locked in outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. There worm dieth not. And he was taking on the affliction of man for us. He had to wait in faith, having relinquished his position for the Father to come and get him from the darkest place. I mean, there's people that have visited there. Mary Kay Baxter, I mean, it is destroyed her just to go and look at that. And he had to wait for 3 days under that penalty for the Father, the ultimate faith, for the Father to come and get him. Because you promised you would raise me. You promised if I did this, you would come and get me. You will not leave me in this place. Aren't you glad he didn't leave him? Man, he raised him up. He said he raised him up with such power, such glory, such magnitude, such life, such resurrection life. He came out of that grave with the keys of death and hell and the power. Just like we just came out of that dark place right there. And now that life come up out of there and it's all the way up. And Daniel sees him, and I saw the Son of Man ascend before the Ancient of Days, and there was given him a glory and a power and a dominion. And he says, and you crowned him with glory and honor. You crowned him. He came all the way into fully restored life, and God said, that's not enough. The full restoration of glory, that's not enough. The full restoration of grace, that's not enough. The full restoration he had is the state of the angels again. He said, that's not enough. He took David's crown, the whole kingdom of David. He brought it up into the heaven. And he crowned him in a perfected crown of glory in the heavens above. And he crowned him. He says they crowned him with glory and honor, the Bible said. And he made him have dominion and he restored the dominion. It was finished. On that third day, it was done. Then he's going to launch his church and he is to teach them of this whole new realm, this whole new covenant, this whole new operation. And their job was to lay the foundational blueprint for the church age. And they began to see it immediately, and the apostles began to preach it immediately. And people like Paul, they begin to look into this realm and started mapping out this realm for us. This realm of who we really are. Not just a people saved, but a new species of God, Christ beings in the earth. Anointed with dominion in the earth. But he restored a dominion and a kingly dominion in the heavenlies, and Paul speaks of it. And even then, God reserved the best wine for the last days. He reserved something for us. Whoa! He's reserved something for us. And we're all over it. Now read it in that light. Because now I want you to read it in the light that this is about to happen to you. Who are you? Who are you, Anna? Who are you? That God would be mindful of me. Who am I? That he would come and visit me. You made me lower than the angels. Well, we were already born lower than the angels. We were born out of sin. But then something happens. Because what happened when we died, we went down there with him, the old man. But something came up with him. And some people, they get raised up and they're saved. And some people, they get raised up and they got glory on them. And that's enough for them. And some people get raised up and they got some anointing and power of the Holy Ghost on them. And some people get raised up and they got some wisdom on them. But some, they have to go for all of it. I have to have the whole thing. I got to go all the way to the restored dominion. I mean, the kind of stuff that's going to move the mountains and level the plains and cause the collapse of the world systems in the earth. The kind of dominion that's going to cause the enemy to collapse. The kind of glory that's upon us where the darkness collapses around us. We ought to be afraid. 10,000 can fall at my right hand and 1,000 on my left, but he will not come nigh my dwelling. John G. Lake, an apostle before his time, a king and a priest, during the Black Plague in London, he took teams in there. Nobody'd go in there. He says, we'll go. And they said, you're crazy. Everyone dies in there. 95% death rate. He goes, it's not going to happen to us. He says, take it, put it in my hand. And they took a petri dish of that plague and they put it in his hand. They put it under a microscope. He goes, I want you to watch. He was scientific like this, and it dried up while under the microscope, the life just overrode the whole disease. Isn't that awesome? And they went in there and just started raising him from the dead. It was powerful. He went in one service. He lifted his hands, and liquid glory was flowing out of him. Liquid glory. They started running four deep, and they could only get into a 10-foot perimeter of the glory coming out of him, and they start falling. They were stacking up all around. A sign of the last days that was going to come. Ephesians chapter 1. This is how important who you listening to in the last days. You got to find someone who's got a compass. Because your compass is where you're going to arrive. If you don't have the compass, you're not going to get there. You're going to get that set in your heart. And it's got to stay there. And it moves you to that position. Though dominion has been restored and though dominion is ours, there is a responsibility we have under heaven of how to access it and operate and function in it. It's for the full aged. But it's going to get the job done in these last days. We will not be alone. We won't look anything like we're looking right now. Ephesians 1, verse 19, Paul's in a prayer. I'm going to pick it up midway through. And he goes, what is the exceeding greatness? He's actually asking for the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Verse 17, I'll just pray it. The God of our Lord Jesus Christ, Father of glory, give unto you the spirit of wisdom. Pray it every day. Wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Christ, the eyes of our understanding be enlightened. It means it to be flooded with light. The eye of your heart be flooded with light, that we may know the hope of his calling, the riches of his glory, the inheritance in the saints. What is the exceeding greatness of his dunamis power to usward who believe, according to the working of the mighty power which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him on his own right hand, far above. Brought him out from the grave, far above principalities, powers, might, dominion. Every name that is named, not only in this world, but that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet. It has to come under your feet. Your trial has to come to the position. It goes under your feet. It can't be in you. It can't be around you. It has to be under you. The last day church will operate from the position of top down, not pride. Not human sufficiency, but authority and dominion that comes from above. He's put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head of the church. Now, go over one chapter. I'm telling you, you start moving these realms. You come up out of that realm that we've been in lately. There is an authority, a lion that wants to come out here and roar. There is a decree that comes out of us, an authority that comes out of us because we're in that position. You don't start here. You got to get clothed in it. Verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love where he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, quickened us together with Christ. The day he died, you died. The day he was raised, you were raised. And as soon as you gave your life to him, he separated the darkness from your spirit, eternal part of your being, and he buried that old man, and he took that new one all the way up. All the way. Say all the way. And hath raised us up. Say raised us up. Together. It ain't like he's sitting up there and we're down here. In God's eyes, we're together. We went up with him. That's huge. You were meant to understand that when God did this work of salvation, he finished it all. He completed it all. He said, listen, you're not a sinner saved by grace anymore. You are bona fide saved, the bona fide son of bona fide joint heir. And you are some bona fide dominion. Though you may have to grow up into it. You have it as birthright. It's already in the family lineage. It's already in the plan. It's already in the divine design of the Father. I've already raised you up. And I sit down together in the highest estate of heaven. Do you understand that when God raised him up, he's not lower than the angels anymore? He's in the highest estate there is, the right hand of the Father. He sits down at the right hand of dunamis power. I appoint him heir of all things. The Bible says in Hebrews, he's the appointed heir of all things. Well, that's awesome. Now, when you're worshiping him and you're worshiping the Father, he's king, he's God. You have your position of worship. When it comes time to function, you're going to have to join him where he is. Enjoined together. You're going to have to follow him up. You're going to have to follow him in. Most people don't want to go that far. Some people don't know how to go that far. But for those who understand, you got to walk up, because that's his prerequisite to walk in the dominion, is you're going to have to follow me up into where it is. I restored that dominion. I'm not about to restore it down there where the devil still has a legal lease. He'll steal it all over again. So I'm going to put it away from him. Far above the principalities, I'm going to give you access to come up. He raised us up together. Say together. Me and the Lord together. So you're going to have to follow in. You're going to have to accept that position. You're going to have to accept what he's done for you. And accept the fact that he's made you a joint heir. And I'm going to go further. Accept the fact that he's already crowned you with glory and honor and dominion. Accept it. That's what Paul was seeing. He saw this perfected priesthood after the order of Melchizedek, king, priest, government. He says, let us go into the perfection, because he saw God was going to take a whole church up into the realm of glory. Not just apostles, he was going to take them all, a whole church, and he says, let's go. He's in Hebrews, he's seeing, looking into this realm. He says, let's go. Let's go on into perfection. Only apostles will be in the foundation wanting to go to the top. I mean, that's just the way they are. But then God has this reserved time. Different men and women over the centuries have been able to access these realms of God. And when they do, they would come out and shake the world. But God reserved a time that he would bring up a whole church. A global church would be brought up into the realm of full-blown dominion. the dominion, the realm of the crown, the realm where we're raised up together, the realm of royalty, the realm where we're raised up to where, watch this, you've been positioned above the angels. They're ministering flames of fire sent to minister on the behalf of the unworthy. No. They'll protect you as the unworthy. They've been sent to minister on behalf of the heirs. It's the heirs of salvation and know who they are. Those angels will function and operate with you when you know who you are. Because they know they're under your authority given to you by the Lord Jesus. He gave us something that Michael, the archangel, doesn't even have. He gave us something to sit with him. To sit down with me in the crown. I share all that I have with the Father with you. All that the Father's given me, I share it with you. All the position, all the authority, all the dominion, all the blessing. I restored it all. I am an open door. I have it all. I am the appointed heir, the Lord said. God gave it all back to me and I share it. I'm not ashamed to even call you a brother. Come on in. Come in. I got it all laid up for you. Here cometh the last day. Go to Revelation chapter 3. Here cometh you and me. Here cometh. Oh, don't be sleeping in this time. Not very many of these trains roll by humanity ever. And God's going to position a global church to come up into the crown. He's going to share the crown with us. And all that it is, it's coming down. In the early church, the mighty Holy Spirit, the Comforter, was poured out. In the last day church, the mighty seven spirits of God will be poured out. There is another great outpouring. We're on the precipice of it right now. Revelation 3, verse 7. And the angel wasn't an angel, it was a messenger. Same word as John. I'll send my messenger. Of the church in Philadelphia, right? He's written a few things to us. Praise God. These things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that has the key. To the house of David. Say the house. Isaiah 22 said the key of the house of David. Only other time it is mentioned. The house. The government. The kingdom. The house of the crown. He that openeth. I have something for you. Reserve the last. This best wine for the last days. I've been sitting on the throne of David since God reassigned it to me. When the Lord was caught up. God reassigned that throne. He says he sits on it. He says he ministers justice out from it. But God reserved this last hour for a royal priesthood. A priesthood would come into the royalty of God. One final display to humanity before darkness will cover the earth. One final display of his power and his splendor and his glory would only be displayed through one. It's going to be displayed through a whole global bridal company of believers. I'm going to open door for you to the house of David where I sit. I set before you an open door to come in to where I am. And he that openeth it, no man can shut this door. I know thy works. Behold, I've set before you an open door. You've had little strength. But not to worry. What's coming out of heaven is going to change all that. Look at verse 10. Because you've kept the word of my patience. Oh, Lord, I wish he wouldn't have put patience in there. When he started teaching about keeping his word, I'm thinking, I can do this for 6 months. 4 years now. Anyway. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I'll keep thee from the hour of temptation coming upon the whole earth to try them that dwell on the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Let no man take your crown. The only church given a crown in the earth Watch this. He had to open that door to it. We have to go up. Amen. Into this realm of dominion. To this realm. You know how you do it? You follow him by his word. If you went up, I go up. If you were crowned, I'm crowned. If I'm raised together, then everything happened to you happens to me. If you're crowned with glory and honor, I'm crowned with glory and honor. If the seven spirits of God is resting on you, the seven spirits of God rest upon me. If you sit down at the right hand of the Father, see, well, that's when you separate religion right there. That's where you separate the unworthy right there. Because if you've got an unworthy spirit, you can't sit, you won't let yourself sit there. You don't feel like you're worthy for that. If you're a sinner saved by grace and that's your mentality, you'll never sit there. You can't. Because God requires those who sit in this place to know who they are. You don't get there by not knowing who you are. If you're going to sit in that place, you're going to have to make a journey and to sit down in that place. But God is calling a whole church to make the journey. Because what he is about to pour out in Revelation chapter 5, when the seven eyes of omnipresent omniscience and the seven horns of omnipotent dominion, the perfected crown was sitting upon the Lord. He said, this is the seven spirits of God reserved for the last days that will be poured out upon the church, which we are right in time for. There's a pathway to the dominion. So we go all the way up. So we go all the way up. We follow him in. Say, follow him in. And you crown. This is the part he wanted me to share with you. Big. I'm actually going to do it today. You crown with him there. He said, if you crown with me where we are, I'll crown with you where you are. Because the Father, thy will be done on the earth as it's been done in heaven. If you don't crown there, how are you going to crown here? Thy will be done on the earth as it's been done. When we do the will of the Father that is above, the will of the Father does that with us here. Are we bold enough to go up? Are we bold enough and wise enough to go ahead and follow him on in? Or is just grace for salvation enough? How much is enough for you? At one point is enough. Because truthful, he finished it all before he even started you. He gave you the place. Things in you will fight that. Things out here will fight that. Our understanding will fight it. Unworthiness will fight it. A religious spirit will fight it. I'm not looking at anybody when I said that. I can just keep my eyes closed and make it easier. But things will war because we don't understand the fullness of what he's done for us. When he raised us up, we were following him in the crown. The same way he was raised up, he was crowned with glory and honor. We followed him into the glory and honor. We followed him up into the crowning. You're not God. That's not what he's giving you there. He's giving you the position of joint heirship. It's for function and operation in the earth. Amen? We're not God up there. There's a time to worship him. And there's a time to enter into the union of joint heirship. He's always God. He's never going to make us equal in that area. That's not what he's sharing with us. We all understand that, right? Well, when it comes to the restored dominion, just as you entered into the life with him, the free gift, the crown's a free gift. Can't work for it. Can't earn it. Don't get to deserve it. The only way you're going to get it is wisdom, faith, growth, development, maturity. You have to go for it. It will always elude you if you do not. It will always be above if you don't go up there and go for it. You have to see it with the eye of the heart. You have to know it's yours before you go after it. You have to settle that this is my place. I have been raised together. I have been seated together. You might have to learn a few things about access, some that don't know. And some of you might have to go further than you've gone before. Some of you have gone very far this year, and God's saying, go further. Isn't that amazing about, you're just thinking, God, we went so far this year, and God said, you've taken one step with me. Come on, I got more. I mean, it might be a giant step for us. The Lord said, that is one step. Come on. Why? He wants us there. He wants us in that realm. Because he wants us to function like he did. You understand, he didn't do one miracle. The Bible says it. He didn't do one miracle in himself. He goes, I do nothing. My Father's doing these things. He didn't take account for all of it. As the Son of God, as God, he didn't do the miracles. Because if he did, you couldn't do them. Because you can't attain the position. He did it under our position. He's given us the function. And he's about to release us. But he's got to call some of us up. That's a calling. A very predominant calling we have in this church. There's a lot of things going on around here, but that is a predominant compass that God wants to set us into. The crown. The restored dominion of the last days. To wear it, receive it, build a pathway through the door and bring it back into the earth and dwell with it into the earth. Takes boldness. You have to forsake trying to build a church for the sake of building a kingdom. When you try to build a church, people come in here and they can't handle that. It's too heavy. They don't want heavy stuff like that on Sunday morning. We stopped doing that a long time ago anyway. You got to go for it. God will build it. You know, he'll call the ones hungry. He'll call the ones with the capacity to make it. Everyone's been given the capacity. 30, 60, 100 fold. You choose it. He'll call the kind of insatiable appetites necessary to make it there. Whew. We're going to rule and reign with him. In this earth, they started shouting and singing the song. They will rule and reign. Say they'll rule. The kings and priests will now reign in the earth. Revelations 5. How are you going to reconcile that with Revelations 12? The Antichrist was given power over all saints. There's two different things going on there. There's a ruling and reigning of his church that will crown in the last hour. And the battle for that crown in the earth right now is at hand. But God's about to add a dimension to all this stuff raging in the earth. This crown's coming in. It's coming in fast. Eventually, all of our labor, watch this, all of the position will just freely get poured out. Whew. But that's the call. To receive it, to dwell in it, to stand in it, and to bring it into the earth. Amen? We're in that hour now. We're in the day, the demonstration of the crown is at hand. It's been moving. It's in a bowl right now. And that mixture's full. That oil is beautiful, glorious. It's got the Father, has the Son. It has a dwelling in it. It has promise in it. It has perambulation in it. It has historical precedence. Watch this. Stay with me for a second. This crown is not just some arbitrary thing God's bringing in the earth. It goes all the way back to Abraham. That covenant made with Abraham. The covenant with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Judah, Caleb. All of Abraham's and the patriarchs were buried in Mount Hebron. Caleb come in and inherited that mountain of the tribe of Judah. David was crowned in that mountain. Solomon was crowned with David's crown. And then Christ receives the whole generational thing up into the right hand of God. And now God wants to bring 3,000 or 4,000 years of historical operations in a crown with all the glory and all the legacy and all the fullness sitting in that, perfected in the heavenly realms. He wants to bring that upon a people to walk in the glory and the dominion of it. The glory of Solomon's house, the dominion of David's house, the faith of Caleb, the blessing of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. All of it. God said, this is the wine I've reserved for the last days. If somebody, if I can get a group of people to come up and understand the times and the seasons you're living in and to come stand in the midst of it and be clothed in it. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above. This is Colossians. Where Christ is. Say things above. Set your heart on things that are above. Where Christ sitteth. Seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above. Set your minds on things above and not on earthly things, for you died. You died. See, that's why God acknowledges you in there, because you're a new creation. You still think you're an old creation. You go up in there with your stuff. God doesn't see your stuff because he's seeing you as a new. For you died. Your life is now hidden with Christ in the Father. And when Christ is who our life appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Say, in glory. Now, I'm going to give you one scripture and then I'm going to pray. Go to Hebrews. Hebrews 2, verse 9. We see Jesus. We see him who was made lower than the angels for the suffering of death. And then you and me and him and all of us were crowned together with glory and honor, that he might, by the grace of God, taste death for every man. Are you ready for this? For it became him, for whom all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory. Many sons unto glory. Many sons unto glory. He wants the sons of God to come up into the glory. He wants us to move into the realm with him. Just for a minute, close your eyes for 1 second. There's already, we're in this realm this morning. Father, we just stand with you at the throne of the Father of lights. We stand together with you, Father, joined with you in Christ, in your love and your great glory. Today, we are clothed in you, Father of light, as every good gift and every perfect gift has come out from you. Lord, it was your delight to bring the many sons into glory, and this is the hour where the church will come up into the glory. The full weight of the Father's house. We follow you today, Lord. We follow you in to the crown. We died with you. We were buried, our old man. We were raised up and made a citizen of the kingdom of God. We were raised up and made a son. The Father has loved us. And we're no more orphans. You did not leave us alone. But you have removed the orphan and you solidified the position, Father, we have as sons. Loved. Accepted. and made full. But now is that hour, and now is that time that we reach and we follow you up into the hour prophesied long ago, the hour of the church age, where you have set an open door for us to come in to the glory of the King's house, the King's table. You have set the King's table. You have raised us up with the glory and the honor. And you have set us down with you in the full measure of royalty, a royal priesthood, clothed in the royalty of heaven, clothed in the glory of that royalty. You do now come out to meet us, Lord, with the blessings of goodness, to set the crown upon our head. For today we join with you in these things. We follow you in with your word. We follow you in. We follow you in to the fullness, to the union, and to the glory of this crown, to the which you set upon us here. And Father, as we obtain here, and what we obtain here with you, your will fully be done in the earth. We will wear the full weight of the glory of the Father's house. Your seven spirits of God will rule and reign with us in the earth. This is our place. It is our position. And we won't stop now. It's the greatest hour, Father. And we're ready. Ready to see the dominion poured out into the earth. Today, you clothe us in the dominion. Today, you restore the dominion upon us. You set all things under our feet because we're with you, because we stand with you in this place. We will rule and reign into the earth. And you're going to set a table. When we come down, the church is coming down the mountain. You will set the table of the kings and the presence of our enemies. It's coming down into the jurisdiction from where we are here. The king's table is coming down. The crown is coming through. It's being set upon us in this jurisdiction. This is how we'll fight our battle. You will surround us. You will surround encompassing us. With the glory of this crown, we shall live and abide and dwell. In the glory of this crown, the kings and the priests will reign in the earth. In the earth. Chris, put that song "Surround" upon. Let's all stand up for a moment. We love you today. Thank you for coming out today. See that table set in the presence of your enemies. See the table of the King spread out. See. There's a table that you've been praying. The enemy has no defense for it. What's coming out from heaven, there's no defense. Bring it up. Spread the table.
It's your body.
Spread the table.